His receivers, focus on the ball. Don't focus on the guy coming. Focus on the ball, because a lot of times, even the pros, you'll see the pass is coming. Perfect pass is being thrown to the receiver. Great yardage. They could definitely make the first down, and all of a sudden, they lose the focus. Instead of watching the ball, their focus is now on the guy coming, and they totally missed the ball. Why? Because they lost their focus on what they were supposed to be doing. Their focus was on something else besides the football. And, you know, if you want to be honest, I would say looking back on 2010, and of course I really enjoyed the devotions and the days of praise and the daily bread talked about, especially it's like looking in the rearview mirror, you know, looking back. And I think all of us can really be honest and say, you know what, I think there's some times in my life in the past year, because of circumstances or whatever happened in my life, maybe emotionally, you got off focus. You got off focus from the Lord. Something happened, something was going on in your life, something rocked your world a little bit, and you become a little bit emotional, maybe a little bit carnal, a little bit fleshly. Instead of being spirit-filled, walking in the Spirit, you were fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and just doesn't have to be the perverted things. Could be anger and worry and bitterness and unforgiveness and, you know, all kinds of things. And you have to all admit, I think we all need to admit, if we want to be honest this morning, that there was a time in 2010 that all of us probably lost our focus on the Lord. Say amen. Some probably more than others because of the things that Satan threw at you to get you off focus. That's his whole plan. See, when Eve was in the garden, his whole idea was get her to focus on that forbidden tree. And that focus was his plan to get her desire that tree and to want that tree and to get that forbidden fruit. That was her focus after he got through with her. That wasn't God's focus. That was Satan's focus. See, he wants you to focus on the things that God doesn't want you to focus on. Amen? And so as we study this morning, we're going to take a look at how God did some things in some of the people's lives in our Christmas story. And then get into, I think, 2011 in probably one of the greatest verses in Proverbs quoted and used, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. This morning's message is from the mountain to the manger, a focus for 2011. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence, with your promises in the Word of God. And Lord, we've come here this morning to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, to bring you glory and honor in our giving. Also, Lord, that we would ask you, please, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your Word with gladness. I pray that you would speak to every soul and that we would start this new year in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you, and focused on your word, on your will, and on your way. And Lord, I know that I lost my focus a few times in 2010, and so I pray that I would do better with your help this year to stay focused. And Lord, I pray as we read your word, I pray, Father, by the blessings of the Holy Spirit of God, that you would move in every heart. Help us to understand the word of God, and may your will be done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 2. I hope everybody had a good Christmas and a wonderful New Year. And just amazing to see the weather change. And it was really quite pleasant to have such a warm day. And I think we got a little spoiled there for 2 days. Amen? We got a little southern weather up here in the Midwest. But that's okay. Spring is coming. Amen? All right. Luke chapter 2, and we will begin the message in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So I want you to realize what these shepherds were doing. They're at night keeping watch. Their focus was on their sheep, watching their sheep by night. Why? What was the problem? Predators. Wolves, coyotes, bears, predators. Their focus, watching, guarding their sheep by night. That's their whole focus. And rightfully so, because that was their livelihood. And lo, the angel of the Lord. Well, who's the angel of the Lord? That's a messenger from God bringing a word from the Lord, from heaven. Okay? So, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, upon these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sure afraid. Now, they went from watching their sheep, guarding and protecting them from predators. Now, all of a sudden, the sky lights up with this one angel, and the glory of the Lord shines around about him. The light of God, the light of heaven's there, and now they're filled with fear, rightfully so. Now their focus is no longer on the sheep. Their focus is now on this angel. Amen? Okay. Totally different focus now as they're focusing on the angel. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I like that, to all people. Amen? Not the elect, all people. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Now, a sign is something that you focus on to find something or find your way. It's a form of direction. So now the angel who just appeared in heaven took the focus off the sheep onto him. And now the angel is going to take the focus off of him, and he's going to focus it on a sign. Well, what's the sign I got to look for? What's my focus now? Let's see what it is. He says, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Whoa, now I go from the hillside in the fields at night, watching my sheep by night. That's my focus. I'm focusing on an angel, and I'm scared to death. I've never seen an angel before in my life. And all of a sudden, he's telling me, I'm going to go, and there's a sign I'm going to look for. So here's my new focus. I've got to go into the city of David. I got to travel to Bethlehem, because in that city, there is a Savior born, Christ the Lord. And here's the sign, the focus. This is what I got to look for. There's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and I'm going to find him in a manger. A baby in a manger? In a wooden feeding trough for animals? Nobody puts their kids there. In a manger? In a stable with animals? That's my focus. I'm going to leave the sheep. Normally with his hands, they were going to leave him with somebody. I've got a new focus now. I got to go to Bethlehem. My focus is to find the Savior. Say amen. I hope that's your focus. You see where we're going this morning? Say amen. I'm going to have me a preaching fit today. I got a feeling. I feel one coming on. Say amen. I'm going to let loose. Watch it now. Will you look at that? I'm happy. Can you tell I got a happy, happy spirit in me this morning? Can you tell I'm drunk on the Holy Spirit? Say amen. I got some new wine inside this skin. Amen. Brother Ted, you're crazy this morning. I know it. I haven't felt this good in a long time. Got me a new coat for Christmas. You like that? Isn't that cool? Spiffy corduroy coat. Amen. Italians don't wear corduroy, but this one does. Amen. They normally wear silk and all other stuff up there. All right. Where was I? Focus. Okay, I lost my focus here, didn't I? Here we go. And suddenly there was a... Okay. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's your focus, Mr. Shepherds. Lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, now all of a sudden he's going to be focused and to go to Bethlehem. But before he does that, all of a sudden heaven breaks open. A host, I mean hundreds if not thousands of angels come out of heaven. They light up the sky. Maybe that's why they like shooting fireworks here on January 1st. And all the countries like to do fireworks. Again, there's some fireworks when Jesus was born. Amen. I mean, God lit up the sky with angels, so I guess fireworks are biblical. Say amen to that. You find everything in that Bible, don't you? Yes, sir, I find everything. Amen. So anyway, here they are. These angels are praising God. They're just saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. There's their focus. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste And guess what they found? And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. They found Jesus. They found the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior. They found him. Their whole focus in life was changed by a message, a messenger from heaven. From the mountain to the manger, from the hillside mountain to the manger, somebody's life was changed. In 2011, we need a focus on the Lord. A focused life. A godly focus for 2011 is our challenge for this morning. And these shepherds, as they came, their focus was on the Lord. How about the Magi? These wise men from the East mysteriously show up in our Bible. These men who were driven to find this king of the Jews. They are charting the charts, and evidently Daniel and Babylon must have had an influence in their study and knew about the Lord coming, and this king of kings and lord of lords, this priest, this Emmanuel was coming, and they had to go, and their focus was no longer there where they were. Their focus was to go and find this king of the Jews. And when they went, their focus was on a star. And their star of Bethlehem, the star of God, allowed these men to watch and focus on the star, because that star of heaven led them over the child. And their whole focus was to find the king. And what did they do when they found him? They bent their knees. They worshiped him. And they gave him gifts. Presents, the very first Christmas. Who got the gifts? Jesus did. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the King of Kings. Their focus was to worship him, to give him gifts, to give him praise, to give him glory. Focus on God in 2011. As I looked this week and did the devotions and the Dwell in Days of Praise along with my other devotions, on Friday, the 31st of December, talked about being loaded with blessings. I think about when I hear the word loaded, I hear about a loaded gun. Amen? I hear about a loaded baked potato. Or someone that gets drunk. Man, I got loaded last night. That word loaded could be all kinds of different things. Or man, boy, you got a big load to carry. Well, when I read this, it talks about being loaded with the blessings of God. Amen? And when I read that, I was thinking about, blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to look back and look ahead, you look back, and I know some of us had some rough times, and you know, I think about Terrell and Lisa and what happened with them with the fire being displaced and just how horrible that was. But I thank the Lord, Brother Scott, you know, offered the mom's house, and you know, they got a place to stay, and God's providing, and with sickness, and it really was a very, very difficult time. And a lot of us had some troubled times, some overwhelming situations. But if you look back, the blessings of God that he loads us up with outweighs anything that you went through this year. Say amen. Amen. And that's what God wants you to focus on, his blessings. That helps you get through those rough times. So I thought about that, and then the daily bread on Friday, December 31st, New Year's Eve day, talks about a rearview mirror, and Psalm 111 that I shared a couple weeks ago in our that God gave me the message, and here it shows up in our devotion, and there's another confirmation from the Lord about looking back at what the Lord did in our lives, looking back what he did in your life. For some of you, this was an incredible year. 2010 was like, whoa, I never dreamed this would be God's will for my life. If you don't stay focused on God in 2011, the devil wants to distract you and get you off course. Trust the Lord. Well, this is not what I wanted. This is not, I don't feel, it has nothing to do with you feeling the way you feel. You have to have faith. You got to trust God. He knows what he wants to do with your life. He has an awesome purpose and design for your life. Just stay and watch and focus on what he's going to do. Well, I don't feel. No, don't worry about feels. Don't let your emotions and don't let your flesh disturb God, what he's doing in your life. Don't do that. We walk by faith, not by feelings. We're all emotional, some more than others. And if you don't watch yourself and you react and make a decision out of emotions, you're going to step out of the will of God and totally get out of focus of your life. The rearview mirror, looking back at what the Lord did in our lives. God's an awesome God. He's got a perfect plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. You just got to make sure you stay faithful and focused on him. And then Saturday, 1-1-1-1. I love that date, 1-1-1-1. January 1st, the Days of Praise, talked about a fresh start. Ephesians 4, 22-24 said about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is something I definitely need in 2011. I need a good focus on getting my mind renewed, my spirit renewed, which is my attitude. I need to get my attitude renewed, my spirit renewed, my heart renewed. And how often do I do that? I do that every day. Every day I'm going to renew my mind, renew my spirit, renew my attitude in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, so I can stay focused on what God wants for me this year. And you need to do the same. Renew your mind. How do I renew my mind, Brother Ted? Right there. Morning and evening devotions, that's already spelled out for you in the daily bread. See, the world wants you to think one way, and God wants you to think another. But he doesn't want you to be so heavily minded that you know earthly good either. There needs to be a balance. Amen? And some of these people are really way out there. They're so isolated that they're just not real. And then the daily bread in 1-1-1-1, January 1st, New Year's Day, is called Eat Fast and Pay Less. And I know they got these shows on TV, and I don't know how this guy does it. But he's got to eat all this stuff a certain time. And if he does, he wins something. And if he doesn't, it's like down here at CJ's. They got this 4-pound breakfast monster sandwich. 4 pounds. It's $15. But if you eat it, it's free. You get your picture on the wall. And then you get a T-shirt. But God only knows how you feel for the next 15 days. You got to eat a certain time. And I know a lot of us sometimes when we go out to eat, we like to get our food quick. And the longer you wait, the more impatient you get. That's why it's good maybe to eat a little snack before you go. And then when I read this devotion, and it says, eat fast and pay less. And as I read that, and I was thinking as we start this year off and the focus on the Lord, Psalm 63:1, which is on one of my cards, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I'm thinking about what a devotion. As I read that, I'm thinking about the world, the wilderness, where there's no spiritual water for our soul, and how we need to desire the Lord each and every day, but not to eat fast. And hurry up. No, you don't do that with God's word. You meditate and take your time on God's word like chewing the cud. Slow down. Turn everything off. Be still. Be quiet. Allow God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to see. Everybody wants a supernatural experience, but they don't want to pay the price. You want good food? You're going to pay the price. Sometimes you got to wait. Oh, you go to a good restaurant, you know the food's good. Sir, it's about a 30-minute wait. Okay, I'll sit and wait. You got to pay the price. Time. Then you got to pay the tip, which is 20%. Now, I don't understand. We'll get into this next week. How people don't tithe 10, but yet they give the waitress 20. Does that make sense? And this morning, if you were in the Worldwide Church of God where Armstrong used to head up, you had to pay 30 to 40% tithe, and he made you pay. That's a cult, by the way, because they predicted the end of the world in 1972 and the end of the world now in February of 2011. One day he is coming. So the whole focus there for that daily bread was to eat fast and pay less, but we need to slow down. And, you know, we always tell the kids, slow down, you're going to choke. Remember that? How many ever drank something real quick and never come out of your nose? You ever do that? I did that with orange soda one time. I worked for Coca-Cola. I was a production manager. I used to have to sample and test the product to make sure we had the right, which was really bad for you, that aspartame was real bad. I had to make sure that was the right amount, and the syrup and the water and the sugar, and I did testing before we bottled it and canned it, and one day they had a new Sunkist can, and it was really nice, and man, I was chugging that thing real quick, trying to impress these guys, you know, and all of a sudden, man, I started choking and hacking, and that stuff come right out of my nose. Really good impression, wouldn't you say? They laughed at me and mocked me and everything. I looked like one of these raging bulls with stuff coming out of the nose. Now, if you drink too fast or eat too fast, you're going to choke. God's word needs to be done slowly. Take your time. Don't rush through it. It's too good. It's the bread of life. It's great. And he will speak to you. I guarantee it. So, oh, preacher, that's for you. No, that's for you. We're all God's children. We're all the same when it comes to him speaking to us and directing us and guiding us and filling us. I mean, there's gifts that you all got to use. Amen? As we look back at 2010 and look forward to 2011, and the older I get, the easier it is for me to see times in my life when I lost my focus on my journey with the Lord. There's distractions, there's disappointments, there's discouragements in my life by pressures of life, and they can influence our decisions and directions. And we can lose our focus, our godly focus, if we're not careful. Well, let me tell you something. When those shepherds saw that angel, and their focus changed from the sheep to the angel, from the angel to the manger, and to the manger to the child wrapped in swaddling clothes to the Savior, their life was completely changed. Do you understand that? And sometimes God's going to do that to you and me. He's going to change your focus about what you're really looking at and get your eyes more on him to get you back to the Savior. Because that's our focus. Not a baby lying in a manger. Now, I'm talking about a king sitting on the throne of your heart and the throne of heaven. And sometimes we could lose focus. Proverbs has the answer for us. Just like the wise men, when their whole focus completely changed and they paid the price, man, they traveled a great distance, a great time. They gave out of their hearts treasures, these presents, and worshiped the Lord. Their whole focus was to find the king, and boy, did it change their life. Nobody was going to distract them from where they were going. When the shepherds left to go to Bethlehem to find the Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes, the babe, nothing distracted them or detoured them from their focus. When God shows you his will and his way, don't let no one or anything distract you from the focus of God in your life. But as we're going to look now for 2011 and realize that we need to guard ourselves against losing our focus, we need to have a godly focus. We need to maintain a godly focus in the new year of 2011. And the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom from King Solomon, David's son, has the answer for us on how we are to maintain a godly focus, not only in 2011, but starting this morning until all the days of our life that you and I can stay focused on the King of Kings. It's in the book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. As we begin studying this chapter and these 10 verses in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 by King Solomon, anointed and inspired by God to write this book of wisdom, Solomon mainly wrote this book for his sons to pass on wisdom. You know, when Solomon was younger, he wrote a book of romance called the Song of Solomon. When he was middle-aged, he wrote the book of rules called the book of Proverbs. But when he got older, he looked at all the mistakes he made. He wrote a book of regrets. And Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes was his book of regrets as he looked back and saw how Solomon lost his focus on God. How could that happen? God blessed him with wealth and wisdom beyond measure, more than any man. How did Solomon lose his focus? He didn't practice what he preached. Amen? And there were some women that he married, strange women that turned his heart to worship the idols and the pagan gods that he was forbidden not to. Lost his focus. That's why it's so important not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Solomon paid the price. He lost his focus. So Proverbs has the answer for us to do our very best every day for Jesus. And we need to have confidence that God's Holy Spirit is leading us every day. Amen? Every day, God's Holy Spirit needs to be leading us, directing our steps, so that we don't veer off the path to the right or the left. In fact, Proverbs has a warning. In fact, turn to the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 4. Look at 25, 26, 27. Look at his advice to his sons, King Solomon, when he was middle-aged, right with God, focused on God, trying to instruct his sons. He says in verse 25, "Let thy eyes look right on, stay focused. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee." Stay focused. "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil." Because if you're going to do evil, you're way off focusing on God. So stay focused, really, was one of his main challenges to his sons. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 3. You know, I say today, more than any other time, especially in the day and age of people with cell phones, and I have to be honest with you, I've done it a few times, and I paid the price. I am not going to be texting anymore in my car while I'm driving. See, Brother Ted, that's stupid. I know. You know what I'm texting? Guess what I'm focusing on? I'm texting. I'm focusing on texting and the person who I'm texting. Am I focusing on my driving? No. Dangerous, really stupid. And so I paid the price already, and I'm not going to do it again. Cell phone stays there. I'm not texting. If I get a message, I'll wait till I pull in the parking lot or where I stop. On the stop sign, fine. I mean, a stoplight, not a stop sign. Stop light, okay, maybe if I got time. But if not, I'll wait till I pull over or whatever. If it's important, if it's an emergency, okay. I'm thinking about cell phones, texting, and talking. How you could lose your focus on driving and all the accidents now because of this. Certain states and cities, you're not allowed to use your cell phone driving. You can't text or talk. New York, $150 fine. City of Hamilton, $150 fine. In Hamilton, 2 years ago, they tried in Germantown. They voted no, but it's going to come. I think it should be a law around the country. It's dangerous. Why? You lose your focus. Somebody's going to get killed. Life is a series of decisions, and so to stay focused, we need to know how to make wise decisions every turn. Don't rely on your feelings, your emotions, or your impulses, or your desires. They will get you off track, and they'll change. Only by following the direction that God's going to give you and me in Proverbs chapter 3 do we have any hope of living a life of a godly focus. A life that's so focused every day on the things of God. And without Jesus at the center of your life every day, you're going to lose your focus. So here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Solomon says, "My son, forget not my law." So the focus needs to be on the law of God, instructions. but let thy heart keep my commandments. Okay? For length of day. Now, here's the thing. He's telling his sons, don't forget the law of God, the instructions that God's given you. Let your heart keep his commandments. And if you do that, if you don't forget the law and you focus on the law and you focus on the commandments, this is the results and this is what's going to happen if you focus. Verse 2, for length of days and long life, and what's the third word? Peace. You mean to tell me if I focus on God in 2011 every day of my life, that I'm going to have peace? That's what the Bible says. Say amen. And when I don't have peace, it's a good indication that you're not focusing on the God of heaven. You're focusing on something else or someone else. And Satan's trying to come into your life to get your eyes off of the King, to get you out of focus, to mess you up, to get you out of the will of God, to step in a direction that God doesn't want you to go. Say amen. Well, I don't like. No, it's not about what you like. It's not about what you want. It's what God wants for your life. That's the key. By the way, when you got saved, you lost all your rights. He bought you with a price. You're not your own. Say amen. God owns you. You are a servant of God, and he calls the shots. But when the focus is on you and what you want, then the focus is not on God. That's when you're going to get in trouble. And I'm going to be honest, in 2010, I made that mistake a few times. It's about me. It wasn't about him. About how I was feeling. Say amen. I'm not alone here, am I? Am I alone? Okay. I had a feeling I was preaching somebody in here. And so we got length of days, long life, and peace already promised to us. When we focus on the commandments of God and on the Lord, it's a pretty good deal. So when you're not focused on God, let's take a look at that scripture. When you're not, when you forget God's law and you don't keep his commandments on in your heart, then verse 2 would say, short of days and short life and trouble. And shall they add to thee? Add to thee? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. More trouble. More trouble. More misery. If you don't keep the law of God and the commandments of God and not focus on God, you're going to be in trouble with God. Just like Adam and Eve were. They were hiding in behind the bushes, scared to death, ashamed, out of God's will, out of his presence. He comes walking, meeting with them on the cool of the day like he always does. He knew exactly where they were. He did it for them, asking that, where art thou? What happened? They lost their focus. They were in trouble. Man, they were feeling things they shouldn't have felt. They were experiencing things they shouldn't experience. They were behind some trees where they shouldn't have been behind. They were away from God. I mean, they were in trouble. There was no peace in their life. Why? They violated verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 3. And by the way, this is for all of us because we're all God's children. But even more so, me. Then he says in verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. All right? Mercy and truth. Mercy. Mercy is the tender kindness, the loving kindness of God shown to men and women. It's God not giving you and me what we do deserve. Say amen. Now I'm going to sit here and tell you young people, when I was a teenager and one of my friends started me on marijuana, I didn't just all of a sudden find it and start smoking it. Good friend of mine says, hey, let's get high. That's fine. And then when we used to skip school, I used to take them down to my house. Mom and dad, mom and stepmom were out. We raided the bar, the alcohol. We got plastered, went back to school, had a good time because we were the big football players. I was the big weightlifter. I was a state record holder. We were the big dudes, man. We were it, and everybody's going to look at us, and we were big bad. Nothing could happen to us. Oh, no, everything's cool. But one of the star wrestlers who should have been the state champion, Ricky Hernandez, mixed the drugs with the alcohol and died. That woke some of us up. See, I wish I could turn back the hands of time, because my focus wasn't on God as a teenager. It was on me and pleasure of sins of this world and my body and building it up. It wasn't on the body of Christ. It was on my body. I wonder how many people I could have affected for the good. But I can't. I can't turn back. I can't do nothing about yesterday, but you can about tomorrow. You don't see, we've been on a journey, all of us. And we've been in places where we don't want you to go. Okay? I've stepped on those landmines, almost ruined my life several times, almost died twice of an overdose. I don't want you going there. Why? Because some of you may not survive the things I've done. When I was 5 years old, my grandfather sat me down. We got into the movies. My grandfather, Serge. We used to make homemade wine. You know, people just don't drink a little bit. I mean, it's okay if people could drink just a little bit of wine, and that's fine. But they don't stop with a little bit. They just keep going and going. Before you know it, I mean, the brain's affected, the body's affected, and your judgment's gone. You loosen up. You say things you shouldn't. You do things. Then you forget. You think God wants you to do that? You totally lose focus on God with drugs and alcohol in your body. Say amen. Totally lose it. See, the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine as an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, because when you're filled with the Spirit, you're focused on God. When you're filled with wine, you're not focused on God. I know, I was there. My mom was an alcoholic and drug addict. I know what it did to her and did to our family. I know what I was doing to my body, drinking the way I was. And I'm telling you, we don't want you making the mistakes that we made. Because you all got good health, but it only takes one time. Somebody putting one pill in your drink, and you never come back from that trip, ever. You'll end up in a psychiatric ward like Karen Wu did. Beautiful Chinese girl, 11th grade girl, smart, played the guitar, had a beautiful voice. She went to a party. Everybody was having a good time, drinking, getting high. And all of a sudden, one of these idiots put something in her drink. She has a bad trip or whatever it was, and screaming, yelling. They got to call the ambulance. She's foaming at the mouth. Everybody takes off. The ambulance comes. They bring her. 5 days later, she ends up in a psychiatric ward. Even this day, she's in a psychiatric ward because all she does is walk around drooling on herself, snot going all over. She has to wear diapers. She's got this guitar, and she just kind of strums it around, and you look at her and you just want to die. This beautiful, young, talented girl, one party, one drink, one pill, and now she's a zombie. Was it worth it? No. No. It could happen. That's why you need, if anybody in here, you guys need to focus on the Lord in 2011, because Satan wants you bad. Bad. He wants to mess up your life. Bad. Real bad. He almost got me, but somebody was praying for me. Somebody's focus was on heaven to get this little Italian boy saved, Mrs. Versace, 89-year-old Italian lady. Put me on her lap. Had this big old book on her table. I don't know what it was. Getting on the phone, praying in Italian, calling my name out to her friend and Jesus and praying. And I don't know if she was speaking in tongues or Italian. I don't know what she was doing. She was praying. I remember my name and Jesus' name through that whole hour and a half of praying. That's right. It wasn't 5 minutes. We had a prayer meeting in that room. I'm going to tell you something. I believe God answered her prayers. That's why I'm here today. All the stuff I did, I'm ashamed. I even hate to even tell my kids the stuff that I was involved in. Let me tell you what changed my life. Jesus. Changed my whole focus. My whole life has changed. And it needs to be. Let not mercy, loving kindness of God, and truth always speak the truth. Let it not forsake thee. Bind them upon the table. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of the heart. Well, guess what? Mercy, loving, tender kindness to people, not giving them what they do deserve, being forgiving, unconditional love, loving, tender mercies. truth, always speaking the truth in love. Guess what happens? When you do those things, you focus on that. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You want to find favor with God, good understanding with the Lord? Just do those things, and you'll get exactly what you need from God. I prayed for wisdom and more compassion in 2011. How am I going to get it? I got to follow God's way. I got to focus on the Lord. I want heavenly wisdom, not earthly, devilish wisdom. And so shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now I'm going to stop here. I'm going to finish this next week, maybe the week after. I've got so much in here, I'm not rushing through it. Tonight our focus is going to be on the Lord's Supper. But here's the last thing I want to share with you. As we continue this journey from the mountain to the manger and getting our life focused on God in 2011 in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, if you take what you learn from God this week and next week and the week after, and you're serious about your focus, you're going to see a drastic change in your life. It's not going to be just religion, coming to church anymore. It's going to be different. Say amen. I'm tired of just church. Amen? I mean, I can go to church anywhere. I mean, God's presence is real. The supernatural, I mean, you know, some people go overboard, but man, there's nothing wrong with letting loose and letting God have his way. Amen? Let me tell you where his focus was. He didn't lose focus. The devil tried to mess up his focus in Matthew chapter 4. Three times, he got Jesus to try to focus. Focus on those stones, Jesus. I know you're fasting, getting ready for your ministry. I know you're going to go to the cross 3.5 years from now, but focus on those stones and turn them to bread. Break your fast. No. God, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't get his focus broken. Then he wanted him to get up on the top of that temple on the pinnacle and jump down. He says, why don't you jump down? Lose your focus. Jump down and listen to what I'm telling you. The angels will come. They'll hold you up. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. No, no. And then the last one was, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He wanted Jesus to focus on all these things, all the kingdoms of the world. Focus on that, Jesus, not the cross. Focus on what I could give you. Jesus is looking, it's all his anyway. Going to be, but he had to go to the cross first. He was going to give him that before the cross. Here's a shortcut. There's no shortcut when it comes to God's will. Say amen. I'm going to give you all that if you bow down and worship me. Oh no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Get, take a hike, man. He tried to get his focus off the cross, but this is where he was going. And then his focus was, when he got on that cross, was you and me. You say, how do you know? Think about the first thing he prayed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the focus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Well, here's our first service of 2011. And Wednesday night, I should have had people come to the altar and pray for the last service of 2010. I kind of got sidetracked and I kind of forgot. I kind of got off focus Wednesday night. But I'm on focus this morning. This is our first church service for the new year of 2011. You haven't been to the altar yet this year. Why? Because it's a brand new year. Maybe you haven't been to the altar in a long time. I'm going to ask you to search your heart and make a serious journey down and say, Lord, help my focus to be on you more this year than ever before. Help me, God, to stay focused on you. May that be your prayer this morning. But this morning, if you're not saved, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, I want to help you with that. You say, Brother Ted, I'm sitting here and I'm not really sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Please pray for me. I'm not saved, Pastor. I need Jesus in my life. I need to find him this morning. Anybody like that here? Say, preacher, pray for me. All right, let's all stand. I pray God spoke into your heart this morning, just like he did me. I've made some mistakes this past year, 2010. I lost my focus. I did some things that God wasn't happy with, and I wasn't happy with. I'm a man. I'm not perfect, but that's no excuse. I need to do better this year. And all of us need to do better. So I pray that you would come and start this new year off right here at the altar, asking God to help you to focus on him more. And watch and see what he does. Father, I pray that you would please help us. Thank you for the message that you've laid upon our hearts through your word. And we just begun this new series. I pray as we strive not to just give you lip service, but heart service, that we would do this with all of our hearts. I pray that you bless our church this year. Help us to bring glory to you in everything we do, everything we say. And Father, I pray that you bless now this first prayer time at the altar for 2011. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.